Hello all, Baba Oren Williams here, Food Systems Coordinator for the Chicago Partnership for Health Promotion, a program on the Office of Community Engagement and Neighborhood Health Programs at UIC, Executive Director of the Center for Urban Transformation Chicago, co-host and co-producer of the Roots Warden Hole podcast series with soil enthusiast and soil scientist, Dr. Akilah Martin. I'm here today and want to say good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, whatever time it is where you may be listening to this episode. This is July Food Literacy Podcast 2023. I don't know about you, but can you believe 2023 is over half over? Wow. I guess get old as me too. Time goes by much too fast. But there's plenty of time in the garden season for you to explore and continuing to grow good, healthy, hyperlocal food for your health and benefit and the health and benefit of your family. As we have since moving into the food literacy format, we'll also be offering other food and health-related content for you in this episode. In USDA hiring zone where we are, there's still plenty of time for you to grow, even from direct seeding. Your soils are warm now, and your seed will germinate even quicker than they did a few weeks ago in the spring. Now, even For our new growers and gardeners, it's time to begin to consider some of the nuances related to gardening. For July and August, there are many crops that can still be planted and harvested before the first frost date. Here in Chicago, where we're located, in this particular hardiness zone, that date is around the 15th of October. Hopefully not before then. Probably even after that date. But let's center on October the 15th for our purposes here. So, for example, I'm recording this on July the 10th. And today, even, I planted green beans that will mature in 60 days, as well as cucumbers and some other beans and shelling peas that will, if things go as planned, mature well before the first frost date. I will also be succession planting kale and collard varieties this week and every couple of weeks until mid-August. Those particular crops will be cold hardy, so even once the frost arrives, unless it's just a really, really hard frost, they are likely to continue to mature or at least survive, if not continue to grow. They will certainly survive, and you will have a viable supply of food going into even November. And if you were to create a season extension process for your greens, they may survive and be able to provide you some food even into the winter. We'll discuss some of that in the August episode. So stay tuned for some information that we've covered before on season extension and how to do it inexpensively, more expensively, and, you know, whatever your budget kind of will support. I will provide that information for you so that you can extend your growing season if you're so inclined. The Chicago's Food Coalition has used fabric grow bags as our main products for our STEAM education programs with our school partners and home garden projects for over 3 years now. Our program was created to assist with the educational progress of our children and our communities during the C-word pandemic. Since then, it has evolved into the second season of our home garden installations and program and of course, our grow bag distribution program for mostly our school partners has continued as well. Check out the Chicago Grows Food website for more information about both programs, and note that we have distributed through our program in the last several years several thousand grow bags in an effort to teach children a bit about plants, where food comes from, botany, all that kind of stuff. So we will continue that, but we will also be making some changes in our programs coming up in conjunction with our other partners in our coalition. We have proof of concept because of the thousands of people that have participated in the program and have determined that the grow bags are more than adequate for growing produce, herbs, and flowers. In a recent conversation we had with Selma Sims, the chief executive officer of one of our partners, Gardeniers, who is also an agronomist by training, we will, with the rest of the coalition, be revamping the program and concern ourselves with topics such as yields. For example, Selma and I discussed research and experimenting with the type and number of plants that may be successfully grown in 1, 3, and 5 gallon grow bags. Why? Well, for most home gardeners that have limited space, we hope to assist you with growing as much food as you can or maximizing your yields. That way, that will facilitate more savings for your household in terms of food, and also provide food that is hyperlocal, if you will, in that it's right out your back door or on your porch or whatever the case may be. During July and August, we will be providing more information as well regarding what the possibilities are for growing in the grow bag size, as mentioned before. Later, we will report on the results of our growing experiments so that your 2024 season will be more productive than ever. Do not forget to check the show notes for information about July gardening. In August, we will continue what can be grown in August while also preparing you for your fall gardening journey. Stay tuned for that. But a little bonus in the show notes, there is a link to which you can begin to start from seed indoors so that you can plant it out in the fall for a yield before the first frost arrives. In the food literacy realm, I will be introducing something that we need to pay attention to, and that is widespread food fraud. We often hear, for example, how we should pay attention to the oils we use and opt for healthier choices such as olive and avocado oils. But are you really getting what you are paying for because of food fraud and the adulteration of those things that we hope will provide us with better health outcomes? Check out the link in the show notes about that as well. And consider, what is the potential impact on the health of you and your family if, through no fault of your own, you're not receiving what you are seeking? As always, again, at the risk of redundancy, check the show notes for links to more detailed information about the topic. One of the things that kind of jumped out at me as I prepared for this episode is eggs, but not just eggs, but also the level of confusing information regarding food and what we should eat and what consists of a healthy diet and all that stuff. But eggs is just one example of that. Check out the link about eggs. There's a little video there, and you can see how confusing all of this stuff can be. Also consider the question from the perspective of who your health care provider is. Does your doctor have nutrition information that he can share with you? Have they shared nutrition information with you? we know that physicians woefully lack nutrition education. So kind of hard to deduce what's right and wrong. And while you watch this particular video, understand that this doctor is also going to talk about what he would prescribe for one of his patients if they had cholesterol issues and wanted to make a choice about eggs, whether to eat them or not, or what other kinds of opportunities he would provide for his patient to establish a healthy regimen. You also know that this particular doctor suggests during that recitation about what he would provide or recommend for his patient, he mentioned olive oil. Think again about making sure you really get what you pay for. If you want to make choices that you think are healthier, and one of those choices is olive oil and avocado oil and those sorts of things, then we need to figure out if we're actually getting what we pay for. You want to get pure olive oil if that's what you want. You don't want anything that's adulterated with cheap oil. And again, we will have to consider whether you will receive the health benefits that you're expecting if, in fact, the oil you are using is adulterated. Also, we're providing you some information about ultra-processed foods. Many of us, unfortunately, eat primarily ultra-processed foods. We want to get away from that if we can. There's a couple of links here about reducing, if not eliminating, ultra-processed food from your diet. Got to pay attention to this stuff. Ultra-processed foods has been implicated in obesity and a host of other illnesses that many of the people in our community have and suffer from. In order to make a change, we need to think about what we eat, how we eat, and the role ultra-processed foods plays in our health outcomes. Sorry if I'm redundant. Check the show notes. I'm going to sign off now. And I hope that you are having a great gardening and or healthy food and eating experience. Here's to your health. More to come each month. Orin Williams signing off. Food Systems Coordinator for the Chicago Partnership for Health Promotion. Executive Director of the Center for Urban Transformation, Chicago. And co-host and co-producer of the Roots Watering Hole podcast series. Peace.